DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jan Kepler, and this is Two Voices, One Journey.
The place to go to hear two extraordinarily ordinary people talk about things that interest them. So, Jan, it's been a couple of weeks since we've done one of these, kind of on hiatus. There's a few health problems in there and just a general malaise. But we're on break. Well, F1 was on break. They'll be back next week, so we're back this week. And got a lot to talk about. Actually, there's more to talk about than we're going to fit into this episode. We wanted to talk about what we've been talking about a lot because it affects Jan's job, and it's going to affect all of us, are the tariffs. And what the purpose is and what we see as the future and where it's going. As far as purpose goes, it's designed, I guess they're designed to address trade deficits.
I would take issue with that. I don't know if that is what they're designed to handle. I think the current administration has been focusing on trade deficits and they're using tariffs to try to correct those. But I think really tariffs is more of a protection of home businesses and economy.
Yeah, well, I guess it's the same thing. If you really think about it, that's pretty much the same same thing. Anyway, trade deficits are, it's kind of silly because we're always going to have it because we're such a consumer-oriented society in the United States. We're so big and we buy a lot of stuff. And we don't have a large manufacturing base any longer, so we're not exporting a lot of stuff. We're exporting services, but we're not really exporting anything of substance. And as far as trade deficits go, I've got a serious trade deficit with our grocer. I buy a lot of stuff from them, or we buy a lot of stuff from them.
They don't. No, Ralph's does not come around and buy stuff from us.
Ralph's doesn't buy anything from us.
Well, and I'm sorry, and that's where I think there's kind of a disconnect with the trade deficit and the tariff purported fix. Because trade deficit is the amount by which the cost of a country's imports exceeds the value of its exports. Okay. You said earlier, and it's true. I mean, like 70% of our GDP comes from consumerism, from buying things. And we have outsourced things to other countries over the last 30 years because of a desire to buy inexpensive things. And for companies in the United States to remain competitive, a lot of things got offshored. And so the problem I have with deficits is we are a very large country, 340 million people. Average annual income for each one of us is $62,000, believe it or not. And then we're slamming, like, say, Vietnam for us having a deficit with them, meaning that we're importing more stuff from them than they're buying from us. But their country has maybe 100 million people in it, and the annual income for each of them is only $3,600. So in 2024, we had a deficit with Vietnam of $123 billion. So to offset that, every single person in Vietnam would have to spend a third of their annual income on U.S. products, imports, for us to be equal. I mean, you can't take a big consumer-driven, consumption-driven country and pit it against a smaller country, less affluent, less wealthy, and say, well, this is a problem because we're importing too much from you and you don't buy enough from us.
Yeah.
That's why I think the deficits are kind of bullshit.
Well, I mean, deficits are inevitable. I mean, for us, they're inevitable. And it's probably always going to remain that way. I don't see us changing that much. If the tariffs are designed, as you said, to protect domestic manufacturing, it's going to take years or decades
yeah.
to build up the infrastructure, the factories, and everything. I mean, especially in the United States. It's not like China where a factory goes up in 30 days.
Right. Well, and I think when was it? Okay, so these are the highest tariffs we've had since Hoover or something,
something like
you know,
that.
Going in the 1930s, the Depression. And a lot of that was, I mean, they were trying to protect American businesses
and
American manufacturing. And there was a base to protect.
Yes.
That's the other thing that really bothers me about this is that we want a base. So we think by doing the punitive stuff, which we should talk about who's actually being penalized, that base will come back. And like you said, it's, you know, it's not an overnight thing, but the collecting of these tariffs certainly is.
Yeah. Well, the, you get the, let's talk about that collection of the tariffs because, they're making a big deal about the revenue that is flowing in. I think he even used the word trillions of dollars. He might have yeah. said that in the future there'd be trillions of dollars, but it was hundreds of billions of dollars. And there was an actual number for July, and I don't remember what it was.
It was pretty big.
Yeah, it was $30 billion, I think.
It's something, but yeah. it's the thing that bugs me is the flowing into the United States.
Right.
It's just swirling around the United right. States. We're paying for these things ourselves.
Yep.
No foreign country is giving us a check.
No.
For anything. We're the businesses, the companies that need either components or the, you know, full on products are having to pay the price. So either the company eats it and or they eat part of it, and then part of it has to be passed on to the consumer. So I really take offense at the way it's presented, that we're just penalizing these other countries and they're sending us all this money and it's just horseshit. And it's really going to come to the forefront, I think, beginning in fourth quarter for sure. We're going to have a very soft holiday spending season. And then next year could just be a reality will set in.
Well, Besson was on talking about one of the morning talk shows that I watch on Sundays. And he was talking about, see, there really isn't much inflation. This isn't having an impact on inflation. First of all, inflation did go up in July. But secondly, the companies that were importing, it front-loaded a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
To beat the tariffs. Because Trump kept putting delays on it.
So oh, yeah.
So just kept rushing and bringing as much stuff as they possibly can.
It's
bring in.
Hurry up, wait. Hurry up,
yeah.
wait.
And that eventually is going to run out. Also, companies were sitting on a fair amount of cash.
Or they had existing inventory that was pre-tariff.
Right, right. And they brought a lot of stuff in pre-tariff. I
right.
mean, that they've loaded up on the pre-tariff stuff. And that's going to run out. And so is their cash. And at some point, they're going to be passing it along in a big way. I think 20 to 30% increases are going to result in probably double-digit inflation. I mean, we were at 9%, what, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I think we're headed for that again, and I don't think wages are going to keep up. In fact, there's manufacturers aren't really hiring many people.
No, actually, a lot of plants have closed.
Yeah.
there's a tremendous amount of layoffs this year. There's more layoffs this year than there were, I think, in 2020, and that's not just the tech sector. That's
yeah.
retail and across the board. And that's the other thing where if the thought is that the companies can eat the tariffs so that the consumers don't suffer. Well, the companies are going to do something to offset that, which I think they'll start laying people off because you don't have the net income to support your business. And if you're not going to pass those costs on and get reimbursed by the consumers that you're selling to, you don't have enough money to pay your employees.
Yeah, I don't know how much. Yeah, I guess companies can still get leaner. They can lay people off. But I mean, just after going through the pandemic, and of course, there's a lot of tech hiring and work from home stuff, and that's kind of all ended. But I just don't know. I think companies are running pretty lean these days. Although I guess AI is giving them a little bit more flexibility, but that's kind of mostly white collar jobs, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But but even laying people off, cutting their expenses. If you have a 30% tariff, if you have a 30% increase in your costs.
Yeah, nobody has that kind of margin built in as a
no.
pad. Because if they did, they'd be horrible, or you know, basically they wouldn't even be in business.
No, they're happy to have a double digit bottom line for Pete's sake. That's just
right.
Yeah, that's absolutely gonna kill them. Also under the topic of tariffs, it's a reverse tariff, I guess, is the 15% that AMD and NVIDIA are going to be paying. I'm going to say paying to Trump, but actually I guess paying to the United States for the chips they sell to China. And these are going to be one generation behind chips. They're not the most cutting edge chips, but I think you said China doesn't really want those chips. They want the cutting edge stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, actually the Chinese government, from what I've read, they're telling the companies don't buy these because they're security risks. Cause they're saying now that whether it's true or not, that things are being built into them. So they don't want any of them used in any kind of defense, military operations or whatever. But I mean, it's like, okay, what happened to the, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. We can't let China get ahead of us in AI. They cannot have chips. It's a national security thing. National security. They can't have chips. Oh, we're going to get 15% of your profits? Well, then have a chip.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, what do we really stand for here? It just seems like so many things are transactional and just about money, which I really would like to see where all of it goes. And just the same thing, like with the tariff money. Sorry, I'm going to go on a rant now. But like I wasn't on one earlier, but so the proceeds from the tariffs could pay down the debt. Or we could send out a rebate check to the people of the United States who have paid for the tariffs, by the way. So it's just the circle of life here. It's just like, we're going to charge you more to buy something. And then to offset that, we're going to give you a little check, which will hopefully make you be aligned to us, whatever the party is in power, because we've given you this check, but it's not enough to cover what you had to spend to get those products in the first place. Anyway, it's just bad math.
Yeah.
And it's misrepresentation.
Well, I mean,
it's just a flat out lie. It's a flat out lie. And I have talked to people and I've heard people talk about it and I don't get involved in it that are like, well, if they're going to charge us that much, then we should charge them that much back and all this stuff because they genuinely believe we're getting money from these other countries, which is not true.
No. The other thing, and I'll digress a little bit, we were talking about the companies laying off people and not having the margins to handle the increases in the cost because of the tariffs, is they can't make any plans. Oh. I mean, if the tariffs stay in place and you're not going to build a plant in Mexico, so you're going to try to build a plant in the United States. When the next president comes in, if Congress hasn't codified these and turned the tariffs into law, which I don't think they will, the next president is going to get rid of these tariffs.
Oh, that'd
so
be the most popular thing to do.
You're stuck with a factory in the United States.
Right.
First of all, it's going to take you 5 years to build.
Yeah.
And billions of dollars for a big manufacturing plant, no matter what it is, whether it's toilet paper or automobiles. But and if you build something in Mexico, anticipating that the tariffs are going to go away, and they don't, you're screwed too. So I don't see as a CEO or a board of a large company that's looking to expand their manufacturing base, how they can possibly make a decision. It's a roll of the dice, and it's a big roll of the dice. It's a big investment to expand your manufacturing base. So
right, and even for people that aren't considering, you know, reshoring back in the United States, it's really hard to do business.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, write POs and then it's like, hopefully they can come in before the next tariff or there'll be another delay. And if there isn't, then what do you do? Then hold on to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's the other thing about the holidays. It's going to be tough is I think people are going to be inventory shy.
Yeah.
Because of the fear of investing in stuff at whatever price, whatever cost, you don't know at the time you make the investment.
Yeah. So China's got a 90-day reprieve, right?
Yes, right. Yeah, we're into, I think it's the 9th of November now.
Okay.
At 30%.
At 30%.
So we got the first 30, and then midnight, the night before, President Trump extended another 30 days. So, you know, now the scramble's back on.
Yeah.
And the Port of Los Angeles was the busiest it's been in I don't know how long, just recently, and then it fell off because
yeah.
everybody was, you know, trying to front load.
Yeah.
Now it'll be the same thing. So it's difficult even for the port to plan, you know, and trucks and
it's
all
a lot of jobs
stuff.
Too.
It is.
There's a lot of jobs. I mean, if you look at the transportation of the stuff, the importation of the stuff, there's a lot of jobs at stake. I just really see this having major ripples throughout the economy.
Oh, I do too. Yep.
So I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you went into it, said about the port being very busy. How are the container prices these days?
Container prices are surprisingly low. So at the first, I don't remember exactly what the date was, but during the first push to bring things in quickly because of the imposing tariffs, they jacked up the price of containers. And they went up, they were really high. And it's just like, oh, great. Now we got this all over again, which was like what it was during the pandemic. And then, I don't know what happened, but I guess they realized they couldn't get away with it and they came back down. So they've been quite, quite reasonable at this point. But at this point, when you're looking at 25, 30 cumulative tariffs from Trump's first term to now 55% tariffs, the price of a container is really almost negligible now.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Knocked down an angel. Yeah, so okay. So Canada's going to be at 34%, Mexico's 35%, and China's going to be at 30%. So those are our three biggest trading partners, and they're really getting slammed. Except who's really getting it even worse is India. Now, this is using tariffs as if they were a sanction. I mean, normally when we want to affect the or impact the behavior or direct the behavior of another country, we'll put sanctions on them, which will exclude them from the world banking market, from using our currency, and it'll prevent them from importing some things from some countries. So usually there's sanctions involved. This, I've never seen tariffs used as a diplomatic tool. I don't know if they're diplomatic.
Yeah, because tariffs for, what is it, BRIC? What does BRIC stand for? Let's see. India, China, Russia. Who's B?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I feel really stupid now. But anyway, this is supposed to be a deterrent for countries to purchase oil from Russia. So it's a roundabout sanction on Russia by pressuring other countries. Which, you know, you could say, that's kind of a novel idea. But bottom line is, I mean, it's just, you know, you're going to have a 50% tariff now on an iPhone. Which whoever buys one here in the United States will be paying for that. In some cases, I do believe, especially in the case of China, I have no proof, but I do believe that the government subsidized manufacturers in China, allowing them to offset some of the tariffs so they could maintain the business. I think they did that during Trump's first term. And they're probably doing that to a certain degree now to maintain business, because China's economy, I mean, you know, they're backdooring everything now and selling a ton of stuff, talk about a deficit, to Europe now, cheap goods or whatever they call them, you know, to find a place for the production to go to. But I mean, we're just such a consuming monster that replacing us is almost impossible. And they just have China, I mean, have such a fantastic infrastructure built up already to do these things that I think the government is having to help business stay afloat.
Yeah, well, Chinese businesses also operate differently than American businesses. They don't, they're not profit driven. Profits are not their primary goal. The people that are running the factories aren't incentivized to make a profit. They're incentivized for power and control. So it's just an entirely different way. They don't have thousands of shareholders that they're answering to. They're answering to the government.
Oh, they're certainly not public. I mean, the government's involved with everybody and everything. And I know they do it with foreign companies just so they can, you know, steal your secrets and stuff.
Well, we're going to steal a page from their book and the federal government's going to make an investment in Intel, which I think that's setting a horrible precedent, having the government get involved in the private sector like that.
Well, I know, and I thought, wasn't that what the CHIPS Act was supposed to be for, to help chip manufacturing grow or advance or whatever in the United States? And Intel is one of the few with foundries in the United States, even though their chips are, you know, like multiple generations behind. But, I mean, that's kind of a way to do it. This is, I don't know, this involvement of the government in the private sector telling, like, well, yeah, the CEO of Intel to quit because he was technically compromised Chinese, or now we're going to own 15% of the business, or we're going to charge people to export to countries. It just seems very scammy on our part. I think we talked about that as from a constitutional standpoint. That's the founding fathers even thought it was a bad idea. So I really dislike the Kennedy Center involvement, the Olympics involvement. All of this stuff is just I think overreach. And this is from the party that, you know, was supposed to be like small government.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem they're going that way. I mean, the Doge certainly didn't make the government any smaller. But so in other news, in the past couple of weeks, Americans have learned that the police force in Washington, D.C. was federalized, although they have backed off of that a little bit now.
Yeah.
Pam Bondi has let the police chief...
is still in charge.
...be in charge, but with orders to cooperate with federal authorities.
Specifically for the immigration matters.
Right. Yeah, they're not going to be a sanctuary city any longer. And another disturbing thing that I heard on that topic was the hundreds of National Guards people. I think the guardsmen, I saw a lot of women. I don't know what a guardswoman is. The National Guard.
Those guys.
The National Guard, yeah, those people, are going to be carrying weapons. And they're not trained for police work. They don't know the local laws. I mean, arming them, that's just very dangerous. There's a movie about that with Bruce Willis, and I don't remember what it was, but he said the last thing you want to do is put the army on the streets.
Yeah.
Because they're trained to do something entirely different than police work.
Well, they're trained to kill people. So sorry. Well, it's like going to the, they hit up the Home Depot in Monrovia.
Yeah.
The other day, you know, hotbed of crime. Criminal activity.
I give the administration kudos for closing the border.
I do too. That was important, and that absolutely needed to be done.
And I'm impressed that it was done without legislation from Congress, because that's all we heard from the Biden administration.
Yeah.
Was they needed congressional involvement.
I just think that people are afraid of Trump.
Yeah.
And so I think Trump and some of the strong arm tactics, you know, whether you agree with them or don't agree with them. They've had this effect where people are just like, nope, not going there, not worth taking the risk. So again, that is good.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest accomplishment, positive accomplishment that he's had. But then again, the deportations have gone a little bit overboard, and they certainly have gone off the track from what was originally stated, as we're going to be going after the worst criminals.
Right.
And they're picking up day workers at car washes and at Home Depots.
Yeah, seems easy pickings.
Well, it's just to pad the numbers. It's just in order to say that.
I know. And then the, I don't know what the term is for it, but anyway, the agents or whatever having to be masked and stuff and showing up in unmarked vehicles and having weapons and tactical gear, you know, anybody could do that.
Yeah.
No wonder people are afraid. First of all, if you're going to go to El Salvador prison or something like that. But I mean, who knows who these people are? I mean, there's no identification there. It's, literally cloak and dagger or cloak and gun.
Yeah. I'm not happy with that. That's definitely something I'm not happy with. But the list of things that I can say that I'm happy about with the Trump administration is pretty limited. I like the idea of going, seeing China as a bit of an adversary, but I don't think the tariffs are the answer. Other things that are going on with the administration is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Canceled $500 million of research money for mRNA vaccines, which is what the COVID vaccine was based on. And it looks like it's the most promising, the most promising future for vaccines, which have been one of the greatest inventions of the last 150 years, or whenever they first came out. Was it Pasteur, or who was it that started the whole vaccine movement? But I think the Health and Human Services, is the changes there are going to have a very large impact on the population. As much as the tariffs are going to have an impact on the economy, mm-hmm. I think the health of the nation is at risk too.
Mm-hmm.
And his going around being critical of vaccines and canceling the research for vaccines is going to mean there aren't going to be vaccines available for new diseases. And so that's not good news.
No, and if you just eat a breath mint and take your fruit,
a
piece of fruit a day, then you'll be fine.
And then, speaking of the economy and prices eventually going up, I know you had a another reason for it, but Las Vegas is down 7 to 10% year over in revenue, and I know part of it is the snowbirds aren't coming in.
From Canada,
and I think other nations are also sort of boycotting us, from what I've seen.
Oh, I think American tourism is down.
Yeah, I think American tourism.
And Las Vegas is a big destination. But the other thing I heard was, and this is from my hairdresser, and they never lie, that she was there for a convention and said it was like a running joke how expensive everything was. And since then I've read it in the paper too, that just price gouging.
Yeah,
all over the place. The hotel rooms, food, whatever it is, they've just overpriced themselves.
Yeah.
So,
other than for trade shows, the last couple of years, I haven't really gone to Vegas as a tourist. I thought at one time stuff was relatively cheap because they wanted to get you into the casino, like the buffets were unlimited.
It was like $5 you could eat, like king crab and lobster buffet.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a big deal. Yeah. Well, apparently not anymore.
Huh. They're trying to make money on that stuff now, too.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate. Other bad news in the economy, residential electricity rates jumped 6.5% year over in the last 60 days. Is it because of the weather, you think?
Oh, I do.
Oh, okay.
Why? What did you think? What did you read?
Well, we had heat last year. I didn't know if it was really, 6.5% is a pretty big increase in energy costs. And I'm not sure everybody's experiencing the heat.
What do you, it's Tesla's?
Tesla's what?
I mean, you think it's people with electric vehicles charging?
Oh. Well, I don't think that should make the price go up.
The price went up, not the I thought you said the usage.
Price is the cost of a kilowatt went up 6.5%.
Because I think there's just so much more demand.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they can get away with it.
Right. Well, and I mean, doesn't AI need electricity?
Tremendous amounts.
Okay, well, there you go. And electric vehicles need electricity, and really hot places that never had a whole lot of heat before need electricity. So,
I'm really Debbie Downer today because the other thing I've read and I wanted to mention is housing starts. The housing permits for new homes is their lowest in the last 6 years. So we've got a housing shortage, and we're not building homes. So that's not going to help that situation. I mean, it's a shame
that
for
means
people
rents
that are
will
in the
go
late
up.
20s and early 30s.
Oh, gosh, I know.
They have no hope of owning a home.
No, and I'm telling you, with the price of cars now, it's like I half of the population can't even afford a car.
Yeah.
Not to outright buy one.
Yeah, what was the average price now? Was it 40 something?
Oh, it's like 45.
Yeah, and that's average price.
Yeah,
that's
nuts.
Yeah, that is really nuts for basic transportation. They on the TV, when they run the car ads, they usually show a price that's a lease.
Oh yeah,
for 3 years with $4,000 down or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I saw one. It was a higher end manufacturer. I don't remember who it was, but their payment was $950 a month. Like you could rent Mercedes.
Yeah. Right.
XQB for only $950.
I know. What a swinging deal that is. Yeah. I haven't seen a car ad where it actually showed a purchase price since like the 1980s.
Yeah.
It's just all about, it's all about leasing. And that's just, it's like, hi, live beyond your means.
Yeah.
You know, just temporarily have something nice. I tell you, I'm Debbie Downer today too. But
what is positive?
Let's talk about something positive.
Well, positive for us is today I got a subscription to the Washington Post, and I know I'll take some.
I was
going to
say there's
that.
A whole lot of eye rolling going on now.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like to read both sides, so I subscribe to the Journal and I read the Journal, which I Jan just told me that Trump's not happy with also now, The Washington Post, I want to read because I want to get that side of the story. And I read the entire paper today, and I didn't see it as being severely left-leaning. I thought it was just giving the news.
Everything is exaggerated. It's hyperbole. Everything is just very polarized. So
yeah.
It's like I think you said earlier, you print one story that pisses people off, and all of a sudden you're branded. You're branded.
Yeah.
And it's like the whole thing is bad, and that's obviously not necessarily true.
Okay, so that's good for us. That was. Oh, by the way, the deal that Washington Post has going right now is $33 for a year.
That's good.
That's just a fabulous deal. I mean, I don't think they could be making any money on it. There's a fair amount of advertising in there, so that may be where they make it up. Other good news. Well, F1 is coming back next weekend, so we've got to look forward to.
And where is that going to be?
I believe this is Texas. I believe this is Austin. I believe this is Austin.
It's been such a drag not having racing.
I know. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I almost forget what Oscar Piastri looks like. Jeez.
But yeah, so that's something to look forward to for us. And I don't know. I'd like to give the audience something to look forward to.
Besides just gloom and doom. And
I can suggest, get
in your bunker now. Stock up.
I can suggest that they listen to what I'm listening to, which is the Black Keys, their 13th studio album. And they've kind of, they had a really rough 2024. They split with their manager. They canceled their tour. And there was just... it just wasn't good. Oh, they had very bad reception of their last album, both commercially and critically. This album, they seem to have switched a little bit. They're not quite as bluesy. They're a little more, I wouldn't call it pop. I call it rock, actually. I think it's closer to rock, and it's much more commercial, which I know is a divergence from their traditional indie, or I don't know the difference between independent music and alternative music. I don't know what.
And there's like 15 shades of genre in between.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But anyway, it's a good album. I've listened to it. I've listened to it twice in the last 2 days, and I was just very impressed by it. It was released August of this year, so it's very new. So I encourage you to give that a listen. That might pick you up. It's not a downer of an album. It's actually a kind of a pick me up. And that's all I got for today. I'm pretty much talked out. I'm going to look for positive things. I think next week we'll try to make this a what's going well, if we can find something.
No, I know, and there are a lot of things
that
are going well. So I'm not listening to anything, but I went to fabulous Descanso Gardens today out in La Cañada, California, and just love that place. Actually, remember, it's a botanical garden, and just... really, really nice, really relaxing, just great to be out in nature, and had a lovely day.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my legs under me so that I can see that. The pictures you showed me looked really good.
Oh, yeah, a lot of opportunities for photographs and just hanging out. So
yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's good.
All right, well, we'll catch up next week and hopefully have some positive things to talk about. And until then, bye.
Bye.
Megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.